Let's all bow. Truly Almighty Yahweh, as we come here today before you, we seek you, Father, that you will hear this prayer and that you will see us all who are gathered to worship you in spirit and truth. We know, Almighty Yahweh, that you truly have the answers to all of our problems, and we thank you for the gift of your Son, Yahshua, for we know that we no longer have to worry as much as we did before, as long as we're doing what's right. Father, we love you. We love Yahshua. Be with us now as we look into your word, and Father, we thank you for all you do, and so we say amen and hallelujah. You may all be seated. This is the place I like to be up here. I said it's been a lot of years behind the pulpit, and it is preaching and stuff, and I really enjoy that. Let's turn over to I'll say a few things first. One of the important reoccurring themes you find in the scriptures is that of the word with salvation. From Genesis to Revelation, it gives us hope to those who are looking for Yahshua. Interestingly enough, it increases our strength spiritually to follow in Yahshua's footsteps. Right now, as never before, we are seeing prophetic scriptures concerning Yahshua's second coming coming together as a way to prepare us for what we will have to endure. But Almighty Yahweh is faithful to his witnesses. Now, let's turn over to Matthew 24, because it's one of the passages I like to go to when I look at prophecy. The reason being is that it is a passage that is spoken by our Savior himself, and there's not too many in there like that. We have this one, and we have the passage over in John 17, for instance. Now, if we go here in Matthew 24, I'm going to get a few verses here. Here we go. As you see, this Olivet, the author is known as the Olivet Prophecy. And he starts out here, start out in verse 7. And it says here in verse 7, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom shall, and against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in which, in places, and you see all those, the fact there's some scriptures to back this up. I really like this translation because not just the fact that it's giving you a line for line translation here, but also because it puts something in those spots at the end. Hosea 13:15, Revelation 6:5-8. Now, all these are the beginnings of sorrows, Yahshua says. And so this is only the beginning. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of nations for my name's sake. And there again, we have drawn to us, Yahshua says, his namesake. So he was faithful on that. We go to Revelation now, to Daniel chapter 9. You see in Daniel 9 that, there we go. Daniel 9. There we go. Okay, now, what I like about this one, again, you can take this all in. It's going to be great for doing studies for yourself. But if you go to Daniel 9 here, you have Daniel's prayer for all his people. I mentioned this time and time when I have been up here already. And the fact is that the people were sinful. And Daniel was not. But Daniel, he put it upon himself that he was just responsible as the most evil person who caused Israel to go into Babylonian captivity. And he says in verse 3, "I set my face unto Yahweh Elohim to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to Yahweh my Elohim and made my confession and said, O Yahweh, the great and dreadful El, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and they keep his commandments." And in 9:5 it says, "We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from the precepts from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which are princes and fathers, and to all the people of the land." Well, if you stop here for a moment, and this whole passage in the meeting here talks about the prayer. This is a very, very important passage again. We'll go to the 920, chapter 9, verse 20 here. It says this is the 77s. It's one of those ones that really gets people going because it can be a difficult book to understand. And they use the term week in there, which, you know, in speaking of days of the week, there's nothing wrong with that at all, but, you know, it's one of those things that's put in there for the number 7. And it says, and while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before Yahweh my Elohim for the holy mountains of my Elohim, yea, while I was speaking prayer, even the man, Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision in the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give you skill and understanding. And so he talks to him and he explains what's going on here. And then Daniel has a glorious, this happens here. Hold your place there. We'll look at Matthew 24 one more time. There's one little verse I want to pick up there. As you see here in Matthew 24, it says, it says in verse 15. It says, let's do verse 14 too, so we'll get more, a little bit more context. And this good news of the kingdom shall be preached in all the earth, all the world, for a witness unto nations, and then shall the end come. Well, that's what we're, that's our part. That's what we're supposed to do that. Yahshua has given us the word to do that. And he never ceases to amaze me, I'll tell you, with all the things he's done. And I said, when I look at this ministry started literally in someone's house to house, and to go to pray, and to be with brethren. And look at how it's grown. And you know, we think of many parables. You go over to Matthew 13. Yahshua, he taught in the parable of the sower. And you know, it was the last thing that happened. The first, some of the good ground, some of the bad ground with rocks. But you know, Yahweh, he was in control. And it shows that. Here, if we go over here real quickly here. But anyway, first we must be aware. We have to be aware of the fact that it is up to us as individuals to work on our salvation. I mentioned that here, of course, you can apply this as well, the prophetic position. But if you go over to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, that's a quote from the Apostle Paul. And remember, he was the one who did the action, and Luke was the guy that transcribed these things and put them down on paper, and that's why we have them today, because people valued these things. They knew that they were worth of something. They were worth quite a bit. And again, here, if we go over here to Philippians 2 and verse 12. And I'm getting better. I'm going to practice on this, putting these pages around. Okay. Oh, we got a lot of pages in this book, I'll tell you. Let me see. I'm almost there. Philippians 2:12. It says here that, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, obeyed, not as in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, yeah, within the limits we're supposed to do that. But, you know, you're not going to go out and go to local bars trying to get people to come into the truth. I don't think it's going to work today. You know, you have to work out your own salvation if you're trying to help somebody or for yourself. And we're responsible before Yahweh. That's what shows us. And that ultimately, we'll see the fulfillment of that in Revelation 20, at the white throne judgment. These are things that happen, and they of course are there for each one of us. Now, one thing I want to make a point on, and that is, what you find in this day and age that we're living, when you look at the prophecies of the Word, it makes it very clear that, you know, especially when you consider Yahshua the Messiah from what it has to say about him in the New Testament. Where did he come from? Well, he always was. He's not like Yahweh. Yahweh always was, but he did have a creation. He's a created being. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 3. That's one I like to use occasionally. And this one describes for us Yahweh and how he has mercy on his people. You'll see that in a moment here. Genesis 3 and verse 5. I'll start reading there. Here we go. Okay. Yeah, 3:5. Okay. And what happened here, this is after Adam and Eve, when Eve had given the fruit to Adam, he ate it. And what did Yahweh do? He kicked him out. He had to kick him out of he kicked him out of paradise. I don't even know how long he was there, but they must have had an enjoyable time anyway. But anyway, they lost out on a great blessing from Yahweh because they allowed themselves They allowed themselves to do their own will rather than Yahweh's will. And if you go here to Genesis 3:15, you see what Yahweh makes out of all this situation. It says in verse 4, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Shall not surely die, for Elohim doth know that it is the day you eat thereof, and then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as the mighty ones, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And in verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons." There's something to cover. Now, what they did, the fig leaves was very temporary. Once you pick a leaf off of anything, it doesn't take long, but a few hours, and that leaf will be wilted, and you can't cover yourself with it. I don't think that was going to something do. But they were out there, and this is what Yahweh said to him. Read on to verse 15. Verse 15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now, a bruise to the head is something that will kill you. And that's so. And more often than not, you know, I'll read some of these. They have this stuff on TV, the PBS stuff. You know what I mean? And you know, a lot of times, I was looking at it a couple weeks ago when they were talking about, they want to know how those groups, the Indians down in the, as it was in the South, I don't remember very important where they were from, but they were showing how they were killed, and they were whacking the top of their heads off, doing silly things like that when they murdered people. But they want to know more about that. They want to know more about that, the nature of man. Read the first chapter of James or Jacob. And in James there, he tells you how sin comes about. But anyway, if you go to Genesis 3:15 now, again, he says, "I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And it shall bruise your head." That could be a fatal wound. "And you shall bruise his heel." My heel, it's just like that, in realizing that this book was written thousands of years, a couple thousand years anyway, if you add it up. And as he mentions here, "you shall bruise his heel." Now, that's not a deadly wound. When you get into that stuff about Helen of Troy and whenever the Greeks had gone over, and that's all speculation whether it was true or not. But anyway, there was the guy that was dunked in the river, and he was hit, mother held him by his heel, and so there was one place that he was vulnerable. If you shoot him in the heel, he was dead. That's what happened. So anyway, again, we can see this. Yahweh, he is merciful to his people. You go to verse 21, we can see that what happened here. It predicts again in verse 15, Yahweh is merciful to his people, but it shows that he is, thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And then in verse 21, as we drop down there, it says, "Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did Yahweh Elohim make coats of skins." And we saw how they were wearing fig leaves before. They weren't very good for making clothes out of, I guess. And so, you know, they used some, a little bit of, they knew they had something more substantial than that. And so when you read on in verse 21, unto Adam, also and his wife, did Yahweh only make coats of skins and clothed them. You clothe them, well, that's a lot more substantial. But how do you get skins off an animal? Oh, it's easy. They probably took it out and they probably just cut all the skin off. And then you had these animals walking around with no skin. No, you have to kill an animal if you're going to do that. I'm just being facetious when I say that. You have to kill an animal to get the skin from it. No question of that. So what they did was they took that skin, and it, again, verse 21, unto Adam also and his wife, did Yahweh let him make coats of skins and clothed them. Of course, it talks about over in the book of Revelation, the fact that Yahweh, it shows us there, is going to, let's see. Yeah, here it is. I saw it. Adam called on. Okay, but anyway. Yeah, it shows the robes of righteousness in the book of Revelation. That's in Revelation 19. Now, I don't see that among the little numbers here, but anyway, I just tell you which one it was. So, you know, sometimes you have to kind of straighten the Bible a little bit. Not that it's going to be getting out of doctrines, but just expressing things differently. Now, you go over to, verse 15 is the first prophecy that concerns Yahshua the Messiah. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. It's both Jews and Christians are looking for Yahshua to return. The Jews are looking for him to return the first time. And the Yahweh's people and those who believe in, that he is coming again are waiting for him to come the second time. So that was pretty clear, I think. And then we have over in John 13, 34 and 35. Here we see something different. You know, the title is mentioned again is love from above. And it's the love that Yahweh pours out on his people through Yahshua the Messiah. And this is just loaded with all kinds of good things in it. When you get into the New Testament concerning Yahshua, you know, we get to find out who he was. And in the book of John, 1 John, that in itself is loaded with all kinds of witnesses that he is the Messiah. You know, and it was transcribed again by someone else, but they were there. They heard Yahshua say those things. So anyway, you go over here to John 13, and you'll see, once again, he describes his people here. The love that comes from above on top of his people. The salvation of Yahshua. And again, let me get over there. I'm going to put some notes, these cuts in my Bible or something. Let's see. Let's see. In John 13, 34, and 35. John 13, 34 and 35. He says, A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Well, how much at that point Yahshua is getting ready to die? Which means he gave his life. He's willing to give his life for anybody who's out there to accept him as their Savior. Now, what does that mean? You know, we understand it differently than the Christians do, obviously. Because we know that if we're going to be forgiven of our sins, it requires that we have to do something. Now, here it is where we are now coming up with Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread. And it's up to us now to make some decisions in our life. We have to look at ourselves. I mean, it's great that the Bible came out just in this period of time because, I don't know about you, I get excited about Bibles. Well, my wife does. Women usually do that more way than men. They like books. And I like books too. But the thing is that everybody has to realize that it shows here that he's loved us, that you also love one another. In verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. That makes it very simple. That's Yahshua. That's right from his lips. Here it goes. Here we have. Yahweh wants us to do. If we're going to do that, well, then, of course, Yahweh, he's going to be there for us. And there's no question of that. Verse 15 is the first prophecy again of Yahshua, that he is the Messiah. So we have to accept that. The four Gospels, the Evangelists, whatever you want to call them in there, Hebrews chapter 11 in particular. Hebrews chapter 11 is devoted to the people who saw Yahshua. This is a period of time when those people were dying out. Almost where we're at right now, when you talk about the Vietnam, north of Vietnam, that's the Second World War. My dad, he's been dead, he's dead for like 10 years, is. But, you know, when your father dies, he was in the Second World War, they put you in a special age group, if nothing else. And so you have to deal with that. And, again, we are all to be known by love that Yahweh has, that we have for one another. And that love comes from Yahweh, doesn't it? Genesis 1 and 2. Go there real quick. And it describes here, once again, in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form, okay, and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the waters. And Elohim said that there be light, and there was light. So when you look at that, and you go over here to John chapter 1, you can see how this was interpreted in the New Testament point of view. And the irony is that the greatest witness of all for Yahshua is here in the wind, is in the Word. And He is the Word. And I think that's interesting. The Bible, you know, He's described as the Word made flesh. And He obviously is the Word. But, let me see now. Again, if you go over to John chapter 1, there we go. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with Elohim. And the Word was Elohim. Now what does that mean there? It's one of those passages that are difficult to understand for people who are not accepting the Scriptures the way they should. As he shows here, that Yahshua is the Word. And he was made, he was made flesh. So he's special in Yahweh's sight. No question of it. But anyway, again, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. That's where differentiation has to be made. Some people think Yahweh is Elohim, but, all who are Elohim are of Yahweh. And if you go to verse 9, it says, that was a true light, which lights every man that comes in the world. And he was in the world, and the world was made by him. Him and the world knew him not. So they didn't know him. Even though he was born of the here. Well, that's about all I have to say today. And I enjoy coming up here. I enjoy preaching the word to Yahweh. It's been a long time since I was up here. Yeah, I just want to mention Yahweh. Remember, He is salvation. The name Yahshua means the salvation. Yahweh is salvation. And He had some other stuff here too I'm going to go through, but I'll save it for next time. You take care. Yahweh bless you. Thank you for all of the prayers I've received and all you've done for me. You know, it's really something. I know I'm loved, I'll tell you that. And you don't have to love me, do you? But you do. And so that's great. Hallelujah.